Welcome to Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain Podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me as always is Mork. Mork, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Bubba. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but like Kelly,
yeah.
Catfish is missing. He's not here.
Where could he be?
It's
a good thing Catfish doesn't love either of us. Otherwise,
right,
he'd come back and kill us.
Come back to kill us.
Yes.
So, if you're new to Got Your Milk, FX is the Strain
Shame on you.
Podcast, we are non-book readers, non-spoilers, who review FX's hit drama, The Strain, about vampires, or, according to F, about a deadly outbreak.
Exactly. We review, we muse, we talk, we share. You know, I want to share something slightly personal.
Let's hear it.
Bubba,
yeah?
a lot of our listeners don't know this, but you were actually the first choice to be the new spokesperson for Lincoln Cars, and you turned it down.
I did.
And it looks like they settled for Matthew McConaughey.
You noticed that, didn't you?
I did.
Now, did you notice where he was driving? He was driving over the bridge, kind of like the master. He wanted to get into the city.
Into the city before sundown.
Before sunrise. That was
big. Before sundown. Is there room in the new Lincoln SUV car for a giant wooden box?
Right. Only if it's been carved by somebody who will never carve something as beautiful again.
Excellent. The podcast is not sponsored by Lincoln.
No, but we're really here for you. We want you to help us get through this great show. So we've got...
We need all the help we can.
So now we've got... if you are new, you missed last week's episode. And in last week's episode, at the end, we had a couple of hashtags to let people tell us that they had stuck around to the end. And we asked for iTunes reviews. We got two new iTunes reviews this week.
Get out of here.
That's like three less than five.
That is fantastic.
So let me go ahead and read them. And there's some special people. So the first review says... Long live Nora's mom. It's 5 stars. That's pretty powerful, Mork, don't you think?
I think that is pretty powerful.
Okay, now, this 5-star review, it's by Pillar26. P-I-L-L-A-R, Pillar26. All right, 5 stars. And he wrote, or she wrote, we don't know.
We don't.
They wrote, "This podcast is absolutely delightful."
What?
Bubba and Mork bring the funny. But Catfish steals the show. His impression of the master threw me into a giggling fit so severe, I popped a button on my blouse and flashed some random gentleman sitting across from me at Starbucks.
This is the greatest review of all time.
Even though I live in Southern California, I will be confining myself to turtlenecks whenever I listen to Got Your Milk in public. Oh, well, thank you very much, Pilar 26.
Thank you, and actually, Catfish was the man you accidentally flashed, so everybody got what they deserved.
Now, that was so nice to say we bring the funny, but to say Catfish steals the show.
Absolutely.
Let's see if there's a delete button on this.
He's not here. We can get rid of that one.
All right, so let's edit that out. Then, Black Lannister wrote back and with another review, and he goes, "I always listen until the end, hashtag Nora's mom." All right, 5 stars, and he wrote, "People may be laughing now, but when it is discovered that vitamin D is an antidote for the strain, you will look like geniuses. Hey, UV lights, blah, 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 blah. It's the vitamin D in the sun, I bet."
That's all you
need. Also, why didn't the master just get a new coffin at Sears or Walmart? Well, I know somebody who could sell them a good coffin at Sears.
It's true. He would certainly get them a discount.
I thought it was some ancient antique dwelling carved from wood in Middle Earth and forged from Valyrian steel or something. I, of course, could have ordered a new one online. Hey, that's a good point. Lightweight, maybe nice maple wood with heavy liqueur and vinyl siding. 5 stars, makes me laugh out loud every week. So that is so nice. And so that was from Black Lannister.
The Black Lannister always writes his reviews.
Amen. That's all we ask. And so let me say that we, at the end of last week's episode, we said that you could hashtag, if you listened all the way to the end, we wanted you to put out a hashtag that said either "I listened, Mork," or "Nora's mom," to prove that you listened all the way till the end. And so Jay Coyley, who's at Crackers Finn. I want to spell this out. So it's at Crackers _ Finn, P-H-I-N-N. You need to follow them because Jay Coyley said, "Putting up my iTunes review now Hashtag I listened, Mork. Hashtag Nora's mom. So now these are pretty sweet, don't you think, Mork? These are great listeners, don't you think?
I think they're only doing this out of spite, Bubba.
Well, spite? What do you mean?
Pure spite.
How so?
To spite me.
Oh, to spite you. Well, let me say, because these listeners, have been so wonderful, we need these iTunes reviews. It's how we let it's how people find out about our great podcast. So what I've decided is there are some heroes on the show, The Strain.
Mm-hmm.
There are some heroes, and they're called Strigoi Team 6.
Yeah.
So what I thought is these great listeners who have given us these iTunes reviews and given us these great the Twitters, we're going to create Strigoi Team 7. It's one better. This is Strigoi Team 7. And the first honorary members are Pilar 26, Black Lannister, and even though I think Pilar 26 may be Jay Coyley as well. So these are the first three members of Strigoi Team 7.
A crack outfit.
They're the best.
I feel safer.
You should.
I feel safer.
And so please hit us an iTunes review for the Got Your Milk podcast. You can give us constructive criticism. We love criticism. And so, because we give criticism every week.
Yes, we do.
Or hit us on Twitter, and you can speak to us directly at Fit and Trim. That's FitTenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Now, I should say that under the hashtag Nora's Mom, there were a lot of tweets. Now, I want you to read some of these hashtag Nora's Mom's tweet, Mork. You might appreciate this. So read the first one.
Oh, well, Darcy3, also known as Darcy Kavanaugh.
Yeah, what'd she tweet out?
I wouldn't trade places with anyone. Hashtag love my life. Hashtag army wife. Hashtag Nora's mom.
So she must have listened all the way to the end of the podcast, and that's why she loves her life.
Do you think she waited till the end of the podcast to marry her husband?
I'm pretty sure.
Is that how it works?
Okay, here's another one. This is a real good one. This one, I think, shows that people really love it. So read this Nora's mom hashtag.
Nora. Ah, this comes from Yin, which is at _ Dianette.
All right, let's
Diane TTT.
All right, one
hashtag shoot. Nora's mom warms up my water to the right temp before I shower. Then she dries me down.
That's.
If you'll excuse me for a moment, I need a cigarette.
We had wondered what she had been doing at the Knickerbocker Antique Emporium.
Not me.
Now we know she's been warming up the water for Ian to the right temperature before she dries you down. Thank you guys so much. Once again, on Twitter, it's at Fit and Trim. That's FitTenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And so now, Mork, let's get into tonight's episode.
Let's get into it.
We've been waiting to talk about it because we wanted to talk about you and your great reviews and your kind words and all. But let's get into it. This is an episode titled The Disappeared.
Yes.
And I believe it's episode 8. Is that correct?
Maybe eight or nine. Sure.
There are only probably about a month worth of first season episodes left. We begin every episode by giving it a rating out of 10. Mork, you're the tough grader. What did you give this episode?
I enjoyed it a little bit more than last week's episode.
Okay, and I think you gave last week's a 6.
I did. I'm going to give this one a strong 7 dead dogs.
Oh, what do you have in that backpack? A dead dog?
Dead dogs, Diana. Oh, she's a sassy New York lady.
She is. She's triple D, dead dog Diana.
Dead dog Diana.
All right.
Yeah. How about you, Bubba?
Well, thank you for asking, Mork. I'll tell you later. No, I'll tell you right now.
Son of a...
This was a bizarre episode. It started great and fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the beginning of it with that whippersnapper Zach coming home.
Sure.
I had some excitement. But because we lost one of our heroes today, Matt from Sears.
Yeah.
Because of that, I'm going to bump this down to a 7.
Hmm.
It's very bizarre because there really wasn't much action, but I do think it was better than some of these more recent episodes. So a 7, I think your score is about right.
Okay, all right.
We always
wait, about right. It's you picked the exact same score as I did. It's got to be exactly right.
Okay, sorry.
So what you're saying is your score is kind of wrong.
That's right.
Okay,
it's
good.
It's a little bit wrong. It's a little bit right. All right, so we begin every episode by talking about our favorite scene and or our spoiled milk scenes that maybe kind of brought the episode down. I'll go first and say that my favorite scene actually was the beginning. It was fun seeing F come in and take care of his romantic rival.
Yep.
Really fun. That was my high point of the episode. That certainly, the goodwill that scene caused kind of carried throughout the whole episode for me. My spoiled milk scene of the week, and we'll talk about it more in detail, is I think when you have what I consider a really great situation, you have these guys in a prison van, they're trapped, and one of our good friends, Felix, is about to turn. I think that should be a tense, incredible scene. I kind of thought it was a little let down. We'll talk about it later, but that was my favorite and my spoiled milk scene of the week. What about you, Mark?
My favorite scene was when, and it was just for a brief moment. It was for a very brief moment, but when Abe and Zach and our computer hacker Dutch and our favorite Russian rogue exterminator policeman Fett showed up at the pawn shop to get a tongue lashing from Nora's mom.
She was
smoking. She was not happy.
She didn't think it was funny being left there.
There's nothing funny at all. I enjoyed that. My least favorite. I was a little disappointed with the with Gus and Felix in the van.
Yeah, I thought that could really be fun and exciting.
I thought there was
going to
be a little bit more going on there. I was a little disappointed. The first Zach and Abe chat scene when they're alone in the van.
In the bread van.
I sort of enjoy how unsentimental Abe is.
Yeah, he's the best.
And he even compliments Fett on being unsentimental.
Yeah.
But I felt like he was being a little too, he was being too grandfatherly right away. I think, who knows, maybe Zach's going to die tomorrow. But I thought they would take a little while to get us to that point where they're, before Abe is given Zach the birds and the bees talk.
You know what? Now I know why you love Abraham so much. He's unsentimental. Ratings for these episodes are very unsentimental. I almost cried when that fatherly bonding moment. There were so many of them in this episode. I wanted to call up my father and just the other day to tell him the Storgoy had gotten away. But the dad said, son, you were talking to me. He said, son, stop fucking Nora on my bed.
And don't forget to shoot Jim, son.
You know,
please don't forget
to shoot Jim. And the cat's in the cradle and the worm in your tongue.
Matt from Sears lost his head with the shovel.
When you're coming home, F, I don't know when, but we'll kill Storgoy then. Yeah, you know we'll kill Storgoy then. All right.
That was great.
That was heart. That was very sentimental.
That was very sentimental. Okay.
All right, let's get into the storylines in this episode.
Let's do this. Let's start. We'll go a little out of order.
Sure.
This was because this whole episode, they were sort of playing with the concept of time. So let's do the same thing.
Oh, sure.
And let's start with Gus and Felix are still in the holding cell. We haven't seen them in a couple
of
weeks.
It's been a while, but they're stuck
in the holding cell.
We knew that one of those worms got into Felix when they saw the guy from Insane Clown Posse. So we knew he wasn't good. The last time we saw him, he was complaining about his health, and he is not doing any better.
He's not, and it looks... It looks like he's got a little barf on his his outfit. Is that right? Or do they just not wash them when you go to the Rikers?
Right. Who was wearing this
facility?
Last?
Yeah.
So they're not doing too well. The one single solitary cop. Yeah. He had a buddy in this episode. They didn't let the buddy talk, but he had a buddy. Yeah. And Gus is a good guy. He's like what I like to call a triple G. A good guy, Gus.
Good guy, Gus.
And
absolutely.
So he is desperately trying to get some help for Felix. And our single, solitary working policeman, he's like, listen, you want to get help for your friend, let's get him to Rikers as quick as possible. As soon as you get in, there'll be a doctor who can look at him. And so Gus is really trying. Gus is a good guy. He's trying to help out his buddy. He actually bullies one of the other prisoners into helping them carry Felix to the van that's going to transport him out of the city.
Yeah, no, he does. He lays it on a little thick, and, we'll...
Now, when you say he lays it on a little thick, is that a shot at Felix?
I mean, good old Felix.
He's not doing too well.
How many, look, I Felix is healthy for his size. He's a big boned fellow.
Big guy.
But they've dressed Felix up in two completely different jumpsuits.
Yeah, I noticed that. Right.
And I wonder.
It's not slimming.
It's not slimming. So I think in all, he probably looks a lot. If they took their shirts off, Gus and Felix would probably look.
They'd look identical.
Very much. We couldn't tell them apart. But it's just. The cut, it's not right. So
later on, they're in the correctional.
We're driving a long time.
They're in the correctional van. Felix is having a hard time even sitting up. He is not doing well. And these other prisoners, believe it or not, they don't like a guy just falling on them.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
This isn't, once again, really tense. Gus is, once again, being a triple G, good guy Gus. He's like, hey, stop beating up my buddy Felix.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to knock out what's ever left of your teeth.
None of these guys are particular. No one is afraid of Gus, which is, on one level, kind of cool. On the other level, why do we don't even need them. Wouldn't it be a lot more interesting if it was just Gus and Felix alone in the van?
It sure would be. So, all right, Felix. He is officially turned. He shoots out his tongue. He's a brand new Sturgoy. So the first time he shoots out his tongue, it's like Greedo in Star Wars. He misses everybody.
Yeah.
But then the cops driving, they open up the little shield window or whatever to open up.
The prisoners have rights.
And they're like, hey, be quiet back there. And then his second tongue out. You got to give it up for Felix. The second time
he shoots
his tongue, or just the second time.
Yeah.
The second time he hits his target and he gets the guy driving the van. So we had Abraham, who was arrested by the FBI, saved by a Sturgoy. And now we have Gus, you know, kind of broken out of a prison by the Sturgoy. Is it possible? Now, I'm reading something into this.
Yeah. You mean F, arrested by the FBI.
F was arrested by the FBI. A Sturgoy saved him.
Yeah.
Now Gus is about to be sent to Rikers Island Prison, and who saves him? A Sturgoy. So I've been taking a lot of notes. I've been taking a lot of things. And so is it possible that the Sturgoy are actually the good guys?
It could
be. If you're
be.
In a jam, you need a Sturgoy
need
to
a
bust
Sturgoy.
You out of the blink.
Absolutely.
Look, I've taken lots of notes. Okay, here. Do you want to see the notes?
I would love to see the notes.
The first notes, F arrested by FBI. That's note number one.
All right, okay.
All right, number two, Gus arrested by... In neither case
did anyone have their rights read to them.
Oh,
I noticed that.
No.
Now, another thing I'd like to point out to people who've complained about the NYPD being a little rough and tough on the citizens of New York, I point to this episode.
You do?
The Disappeared of FX's series, The Strain.
Sure.
As proof that the NYPD is not that rough on anybody in their custody.
No.
There's been, you have two police officers who are driving these guys to Rikers Island.
It's got
to
be like 3 in the morning or something.
3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And one of them shoots a giant tongue worm through the gate, kills one of the officers.
Sure.
The other one comes around and, takes one shot. Strolls in, very careful, very respectful. He doesn't want to do the wrong thing. He didn't let it get hit. So I just think next time a NYPD guy is accused of something, just watch this episode.
No, they didn't use excessive force.
Never.
These cops are the best. And so let me also say another reason. Do you want to see my third note on why the Sturgoy are good guys?
I'd like you to sing it to me.
All right. So I can't do that right now. After my Cats in the Cradle rendition, it's been very difficult. So listen, your ex-wife starts screwing around with Matt from Sears.
Yeah.
And so how are you going to get her to not be addicted? I mean, the guy is like a manager at Sears. You've got no chance to get together back with your ex-wife.
Dishes are
done,
man.
Who comes through and helps you out and separates them, the Sturgoy. Do you see the notes that I've taken?
I do, but they're upside down, and I don't want to read them.
Okay, so that's pretty much it for the Gus and Felix storyline. Anything, Gus feels like he's going to be another hero. And so he's now free. You happy? You glad? For Triple G, good guy Gus?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can't wait to see how he's integrated back with the gang. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, I hope he isn't. I hope he stays, you know, true to his roots.
Just out on his own.
Out on his own.
Do you think that Gus is going to go off into the wild and live off the land?
That'd be the best.
Yeah. Gus has a little Unabomber in him.
And he's free and he's on the run.
You know, actually,
run free,
now,
Gus.
If you think about it, There's no more internet.
No.
There's no more cell phones. Okay. No more texting. No,
who needs?
No Twitter.
No.
No one could reach you at FITTENTRIM if they wanted to.
Right. Nobody could.
So this would be a perfect time for the Unabomber.
It would be.
So if the Unabomber's around now.
Are you implying the Unabomber was Strigoi?
I'm just saying I have never seen author Chuck Hogan.
No.
And Ted Kaczynski in the same place. That's what I'm saying. Bob.
I'm saying that is as logical as this show.
Thank you.
So, all right. So now let's jump to another storyline.
Let's
do it. And it's actually kind of going to be our main storyline, but it has two branches. So the first branch is the Zach storyline, because Zach kind of, you know, this is his showcase episode
this
for the Emmys.
This is it.
And it starts at the very beginning of the episode where Zach is, now, I assume, coming home from school by the friend Diane.
Playing with Diane's
Triple D.
Kid, who is not nearly as handsome
no.
as Zach, but he gets a couple of good lines in. And I got to give a lot of credit to the young actor playing Zach, because he does such a good job
right.
without the help of superstar Chloe O'Malley.
Oh, boy. Yeah, this episode, the reason why it's still not a 10, no Chloe O'Malley.
Yeah.
Who follows us on Twitter and is so helpful.
That's
so, Diane, she's dropping off Zach, and she just, you know, sits in the car, and she's like, well, let's make sure he gets in.
Yeah.
And her son sees a creepy shadow passing in front of the window, and so he's like,
that's a good
oh,
sign.
Matt's there. Ah,
yeah,
you're fine.
Not a problem.
But she's a good, kind of good woman. She makes sure he gets in okay before she pulls away, because she's a good girl.
She's a good girl. She's a little better suited to Sex in the City than this show, but who cares? We'll
now,
take
do we want to talk about her joke about, oh, your book bag is so heavy. What's in there, a dead dog?
Well, Diane... Yeah. This Thursday night at 11 o'clock in Tulsa, Oklahoma, will be performing at the Chuckle Hut.
The Chuckle Hut.
Chuckle Hut on 4th and 9th.
Okay, that's pretty good, because she has got a lot of jokes. So this is perfect timing.
Here comes the bread truck.
As soon as Zach walks in. Now, Zach, you were saying, I was saying this is his Emmy Showcase episode. As he walks in, he immediately starts talking out loud to himself. The place is very dark. There's a light. He's like, Mom, Matt, what happened here? And so, but perfect timing, because our good heroes, F and the bread truck team, they pull up right when he walks in. Now, Zach is still talking to himself. He's like, hey, what happened to the house? Mom, and who shows up but our hero, Matt from Sears. And Matt from Sears...
He proved his love.
He came back.
Yeah.
Matt from Sears. You know what? True hero. But a bit like Felix, his first couple of tonguings, not so accurate with the aim.
Yeah. No, well, because I think any time there's a recurring character, then it takes at least two tries to hit him.
Right. Right. You nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Matt from Sears, who is really missing kind of just terribly. There's his third shot.
What percentage,
he misses again.
What percentage of the Screen Actors Guild is made up of by Strigoi, would you say? At this point.
At this point in time.
There are a lot of actors in New York.
That's true.
What would you say it is? 11%.
I'm gonna go a bit higher. I'm gonna
say
20%.
All right.
So
fair enough.
So anyway, this once again, this is the beginning of the episode. Matt from Sears loves Zach, and he loves him so much that his aim stinks. But then something really terrible happens. F busts in the back door.
Yep.
Or maybe he busted in the front door.
I think he came in the front door.
He came in the front door. We'll have to ask Nora that. Yeah, we'll have to find out. So he has a silver dagger. Is that what weapon
Abe gave him a big old silver Bowie knife.
And that's got to hurt Matt from Sears. But then he goes and he takes off his head, which was, what was that, the shovel? That Zach was defending himself with the shovel. And this is some great...
But
a prosthetic work on Matt's head from Sears.
Absolutely. Now, and part of the reason why the head and F aren't in the same shot together is because they both use the same wig.
Right. The show isn't made of money. The budget is very...
No.
So now, let me tell you something.
Please.
Zach has just seen his father, who's wanted by the FBI, stab and then shovel head off Matt from Sears. And what does he do?
He gives him a hug.
He hugs his father.
Yeah,
who wouldn't? Let me tell you something. That is a great son.
Well, let me ask you this: if you saw your dad chop off your mom's boyfriend with his head off with a shovel, and he wanted a hug, probably time to give him a hug.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear God. You're not going to say no.
I don't think you're going to say no.
What
would
he do to you? Yeah. Let me tell you. F came home just the other day. All right. So this has been really, really a great start to the episode.
But there is a chance,
because his head has been severed, and later in the episode he's going to be barbecued.
Yeah.
There's a chance that this is the last time we're going to see Matt from Seattle.
Don't say that.
That's a good point. It looked like there might be, spoiler alert, in the preview for next week, there might be a flashback.
Spoiler alert.
So I decided, you know, because he's been such a hero, I thought we should look at some of the top-selling items at Sears.
I think that's important.
So we could see Matt and really kind of what he's been doing. So in the tools section, the number one selling item at Sears.
A hammer?
No, if I had a hammer, no. It is this metal rack. It's a $86.39.
Oh, that's great, a hell of a rack.
Great bargain. It's 2 inches high, 48 inches wide, 18 inches deep. And this is great for when you're converting an office into a game room. You know what I mean?
Like Matt was doing.
And so I don't know if we're going to be able to get great deals like that now that Matt from Sears is dead.
I don't know if we are either, but I just want to tell all of our friends listening that we have sort of an affiliate sales program. It's a little different. So anytime you guys buy anything online from Sears, what you also need to do is put $10 in an envelope.
Yes.
Bring that envelope to any Chipotle.
Sure.
And put it under the hot sauce at the table closest to the door, and then that's we get our cut. I also just want to make a quick comment that how many of the Strain viewers,
right,
obviously listeners of Got Your Milk,
right,
are wear only the best underthings. But how many Strain? Do you think Strain is the great place for Victoria's Secret to advertise? I'm just curious.
It was bizarre. They were advertising some kids movie called The Box Troll in the film.
Yeah.
Maybe because of Zach. They thought a lot of kids,
okay,
a lot of tweens are going to be watching this because of Zach, so let's advertise that.
A lot of people don't know this, but Chloe O'Malley directed Box Trolls, so please go see it and support it.
Remind our listeners who are maybe new who Chloe O'Malley is.
Well, first off, any listener who doesn't know who Chloe O'Malley is needs to hit pause.
Amen.
And go jump in a lake.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. No, Chloe O'Malley plays Attorney Joan Lusk's daughter.
That's right.
And
it's like Audrey Luss, I think, is her name. Her character's name on the show.
She's a very complex character. So I don't like limiting it to just one name.
Okay, and so one last final goodbye for Matt from Sears.
Yeah.
Is I went to craftsman.com. You know, Craftsman's tools at Sears, such a great thing. In honor of Matt's death, what they have is a deal of the day.
Oh, okay. All right.
220-piece mechanics tool set with case. $99.99, and you can earn points when you buy it.
Wow.
That is RIP Matt from Sears.
You get just about 2.2 pieces for every dollar.
I wonder if it's made from silver, because that would really make it the best tool.
That would just be adding insult to injury.
All right, so let's get back to the show.
Let's get back to work.
So F is trying to explain himself to Zach, and he's like, uh-oh, where's my wife, Zach's mother, Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, listen, if she is here, meaning if she's been Strigoid,
yeah,
if she's been wormed,
right,
it can't happen while Zach's in the house. Now, that to me, you know, I liked this episode a lot, but that didn't seem like the smartest idea to me. Like, oh, let's wait till we get the sun out before we kill this terrible monster, if Kelly's a terrible monster. I hope not, because she's hot. But what do you think? Shouldn't you just kill Kelly if she's a monster in the house?
I think if you had the option,
sure, you go for it.
And Kelly is a very attractive lady.
Beautiful.
But is it possible that she'd be even more attractive as a Strigoid?
Right. You know, because a lot of times the sun gives you nothing but wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
So she would be...
She's got that fair skin already.
Right.
She could be good.
Staying young looking forever. All right.
Yeah.
So he sends Abraham and Vasily Fett to look through the house for the wife, and he's like, listen, Zach, everything's okay. Matt from Sears, he was just sick, and that's why I chopped off his head with a shovel.
Yeah.
And honest to God, what was great is Vasily Fett and Abraham, they spent under a minute looking through the house, because they step away and then they step back and they're like,
I found that to be a little suspicious.
Suspicious?
I found that to be a little suspicious.
Listen.
No, if anyone, if I was F,
yeah,
even though this
you're not.
No.
Okay, sorry.
I'm not. If I was.
Sure.
And even if it was my ex-wife's home,
right,
that and she was renovating it with Matt from Sears, who I just killed,
yeah,
I would suspect that maybe Abe had stolen some towels.
Yeah, they're like, oh, look at all
under
these
the
great
jacket,
things.
You know,
look at all these great Sears products. Oh, she's not here.
There's towels, there's socks, nothing. He doesn't do anything. So,
all right,
I don't know if we know that. But another big question that I had.
You had, yeah.
I had. At this point in the show, at this point in the series, everyone is basically a seasoned killer. F has now chopped off a guy's head with a shovel.
He killed the pilot back in the hospital. He's killed a lot of people.
He shot the poor truck driver last week. Nora hasn't really killed
Nora's
anybody
yet. Nora's not keeping up her weight.
But Abe
has. She's contributing to the team in other ways.
Yes, she has. She's being a good team player. what I wonder, so they're in a home.
They're in the house.
They've just killed a Strigoi.
Sure.
How come they're not making eggs?
Right. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Maybe do you think that's where Abraham...
Is that a clue?
Do you think that's where Abraham
went?
Could
that be a clue?
Abraham went and goes, I'll look for Kelly.
Yeah.
He goes straight to the fridge, no eggs. He's like, she's not here, Leslie.
She's not here. They have bologna, but no eggs. I find that hard to believe.
All right, so Abraham's up with Zach, and he's like... And Zach needs an inhaler. You know, this is like Abraham has his heart medication. Zach apparently has an inhaler. This is this team is not the healthiest team of heroes.
Sort of like Team USA at the FIBA World Basketball Championship.
Yeah, you noticed that. That's true. Yeah. That's true. So downstairs, we're gonna kind of we're gonna split away with Zach for a minute. But before they leave, downstairs we see some kind of tension, you know, romance building between Vasily Fett and sexy female hacker Dutch.
Dutch.
We also see Nora and Fett kind of still. They're not over the. She's not gonna give up. Because it really probably just happened an hours ago in the show's timeline. She's not going to forgive Fett for shooting Jim and killing Jim.
I think what she's upset about is I think what's really going on, I think the subtext of this part of the scene, this part of the story, is Nora was actually in love with Jim.
Yes, yeah,
and now
she'll never
find out.
She's been crying like there's.
She was
tomorrow.
In love with Jim, and now she'll have to settle for somebody else who I don't know.
Right, and so she walks away with a zinger. She's like, "Eat your bologna, zing!"
That's
oh,
a good one.
Ding, ding, ding.
That is a good one. This, you know, we're about to enter the election cycle,
right?
And I think we may see that zinger in a few of the debates.
Eat your bologna one time. So,
just keep an eye.
The way it's kind of left is that sexy female hacker Dutch. She wants to go to her house, and Abraham wants to go back to his shop.
Yeah.
They're going to leave F there to take care of Matt from Sears' body because you got to burn it, right? You got it. And then Nora is like, I'll stay and help. Mm-hmm. And F gives Abraham his son, Zach, and he's like, hey, take care of him. And there's like some swelling music, heartwarming music.
Oh, it was.
Wonderful moment between a father
that actually,
giving his son to an insane
sword-wielding
sword.
Man.
Yeah.
That actually was not from the show. I brought my violin this week.
You were playing.
I was playing.
It really, really was. And so, but one of the things as we follow this story along, now I know, I guess it's kind of sort of real, but sexy female hacker wants to go home. She's like, hey, can you drop me off at home? I would not want to be alone. And yet she's like, hey, drop me off at home. That didn't make too much sense in my opinion.
I don't disagree, but if I look like Dutch, I probably wouldn't have much trouble finding company.
Oh, that's a good point. So they pull up, and Fett, he's a gentleman.
He's
going to walk her to her apartment.
Yes.
And they go into her apartment, and kind of like Nora's house, nobody bothers to turn on any lights.
Right.
Or actually, in this case, the sexy female hacker has like 15 lights on, but none of them actually light the room.
Yep.
You know, she's got this little light. She's got like a desk lamp. She's got another lamp that lights one part of it. But this is the darkest apartment. This is the darkest Soho. Probably not a real apartment. They probably turned an old factory into apartments, and nobody knows.
Are you saying that someone who shut down the world's internet communications and cell phone communications probably is living in a place that's not up to code?
Right.
Is guess, that what you're saying?
What? Guess what else? She
That's
also,
a judgment.
She also apparently doesn't have direct deposit because she's like, where's my money?
That is true.
I can't find my money. I'm a sexy female hacker. I only take cash.
She knows better. How come it's not in Bitcoin? That's what I want to know.
Maybe that's what she got paid in. And so her friend who had the awesome move of escaping from the convenience store last week and getting past all the Strigoi, mm-hmm. has apparently gone to her place and stolen all her money. And apparently they have what I like to call a lesbian relationship.
That is, I think that's a fair assessment of it.
And let me tell you, when Vasily Fett sees that she got robbed by her roommate and that the person who robbed her roommate was also her lover, you know, what were his witty rejoinders?
Yep.
His witty rejoinders were, that's why I don't have roommates.
Yep.
That's why I don't have friends. And then she goes, bam, you're 40. Ooh, old joke.
Yep. Nothing more pathetic than someone who's 40 years old.
Well, I mean, why didn't she drop? Wait till she drops that an old joke on Abraham.
Abraham is not going to take that lying down. Of course, if he was lying down, he might not be able to get back up. The point is,
what's the point?
The point is, there's a lot of histrionics in that and up in her apartment.
There were,
but you know what else was in that apartment?
What?
A Bolivar poster.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Do you think that Dutch and Bolivar are going to meet face to face?
Oh, I hope so. Bolivar, he's what I like to call a lazy Strigoi. Now, once again, one of my favorite guys, Matt from Sears,
yeah.
He gets bit. He immediately starts attacking people. Bolivar, he got that one kill, and then he's kind of been resting on his laurels. You know, like you get one win, and then you're like... Well, who's that golfer? He got one win, and then he was like, I don't know.
Bolivar is sort of like the Axl Rose of our show.
Oh, man.
You start off real strong, and then what do you do?
You get bloated. You don't put out an album or kill anybody for 15. I mean, get good.
Come on.
All right, so, Mork, I think it's time. I think it's time.
I did, too.
I think it's time for one of the Got Your Milk's absolute favorite segments, and that is... reenactments.
All right.
We're going to be reenacting more a scene you didn't like so much. So maybe when in this reenactment, our wonderful acting skill
yes.
can really liven
Good.
It up.
Because
to me, this was a very well acted scene.
Oh,
and I'm talking, of course, about Abraham in the back of the Wilson's bread truck
yes.
with that little toe headed Zach.
Yep.
So who would you like to be in this reenactment, Zach or Abraham?
Well, I was actually, a lot of people in the outtakes, when they release this on DVD, will see the full unedited scene.
Uh-oh, I'm very worried, yes.
So, where which features Nora's mom.
She's not in this scene.
She's got a part-time job as a Lyft driver. So, I would like to play Nora's mom.
So, okay, that's fine. I'll play both Abraham and Zach, which is, of course, the perfect way to reenact what you got.
That's totally
fine. All right,
fine.
So Nora's mom, it does not enter for a while, I'm sure. All right, so Fett and Dutch are in the apartment, and so Abraham comes back to Zach, who's kind of cold.
Move your feet, son. Let me sit here and tell you important lessons.
Would anyone like to get in a car with a giant pink mustache?
Hold on, Nora's mom. I'm having a bonding moment.
My mom's gonna be upset about her boyfriend Matt from Sears being dead.
I know you'll find this hard to believe, but I don't care.
Yes, one fillet of fish, a large Diet Coke, and a small fries, please.
Now, Matt wanted to attack you because he loved
you. Do
you
take Diners Club?
Nora's mom, I'm being a grandpa over here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, you called it a vampire, but my dad called it something else.
Your dad won't believe anything.
I don't believe that.
You're just like your father.
Son of a... Now, I thought we were going to see a worm.
Oh.
I thought we were going to see a worm in this scene.
What do you mean by that? You thought this was a pedophile scene?
Whoa. I thought we were going to see an ultraviolet worm special.
Oh, you meant
an ammonia worm. Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
Well, this is a thing you and I keep kind of debating. Is
mm-hmm. Constantly.
Is this strain strong enough? This strain strong enough to, you know... make Zach a Strigoi, to make Zach have to die.
I think it depends on how tough Zach's agents are in the renegotiations.
That's right. Well, Zach could be part of Strigoi Team 6 if he turned. There's no, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
There's a penny in my small fries.
Nora's mom. Was that Nora's mom or...
That was Nora's mom. Yes, I'm Nora's mom.
Sorry. Okay, so...
Would anybody like a ride to Staten Island?
Okay, so we're back in the sexy hacker Dutch's apartment.
Yeah.
And they have been in there way too long. And who comes in but apparently one of her friends, dreadlocked creepy guy.
Dreadlocked
creepy guy.
Now,
why does she let this guy get so close? And then...
Well, why does Fett let the guy get
so
close?
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And then this guy... I think his tongue did get on Dutch and did get on Fett, but maybe it didn't get on their jackets, so therefore they didn't get wormed. A bit confusing. I don't know. What did Fett even kill this dreadlocked guy with?
I think it was the hammer from Shawshank Redemption that Tim Robbins used
to
tunnel out. It's a weird-looking hammer. I don't even know what that's for, but it came in handy.
Now, you know, I don't want to say there is some writing on the wall, but would you believe...
Yeah. Are you referring to the graffiti?
Yes, there is writing on the wall outside her apartment.
Yes.
No, but I mean, it seems to me
that
they are trying to set up, like I've predicted, Dutch as a love interest for Fett. It's like they can't stand each other, except he keeps saving her life. That's love.
Well, that is exactly...
Yeah.
That is exactly how I joined LA Fitness. So I hope that it works out just fine.
All right. So she realizes that she can't stay at her house, and so they decide to go where? To the Knickerbocker.
To the Knickerbocker.
And who do they see? They actually, in a scene she's actually in, Mork. That, Nora's mom, who's sitting at the register window. It had obviously been closed. And she's smoking, she's bitter. You know, this is ridiculous.
I didn't know Nora's mom was a smoker. I mean,
But look at that look that Abraham's given her. He's thinking bone down.
He
wants to slip her an antique, if you know what I mean.
I think, yes. I think we know what that feather duster is really for.
It's about to be the antiques bone show, if you know what I mean.
Oh, God.
They go into the back of the shop.
Yes.
They see all the awesome weapons and stuff. Yep. Dutch even calls it the Bat Cave, which is fun.
Yep.
And Abraham, as a good grandfather does, he immediately drops Zach down in front of looks like a 100-year-old book, which, as you pointed out, might be Polish writing.
It's
probably
not
in
English.
This, Zach. Reading this.
Give it a shot.
Read it and learn.
Give it a shot.
Whippersnapper. It'll help you. And Zach flips past all the boring parts. He's like trying to get to page 200. He's like, I'll just skip to the end and see how this ends. Now, one thing that I thought was a bit shocking is that Fett, who is an exterminator who could have been an architect,
right?
He apparently knows guns. And he picks up a gun and he starts... Do all exterminators know guns?
Well, I think in New York...
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, those rats
that's
get
a
big.
Good point.
I think that's totally fair.
But Abe is like, listen, the master's nesting somewhere. We could we work together. We could kill it. But Fett's like...
Fett's a little standoffish.
Yeah, and he's like, I want to go home and get a few things.
Maybe Fett just misses...
Do you think Fett is going to go to his father, who's writing the book about Ukrainian architecture, or is he going back to his place to... get some weapons, to get some rodent-killing stuff? I don't know. What do you predict here?
I predict...
Because this is the last we see of Fett.
Yeah, I predict that he's going to go back and help his dad finish writing that book.
He's like, I got to help Dad.
Do you think... Now, Abe is such a great character. He's been around for so long.
Very long.
Have there been... Do you think Abe had, between, you know, World War II and 2014... do you think that there were any false alarms for the Strigoi?
Right, he like chops off somebody's head.
Did he chop off anybody's head by accident in the 70s, like at a Bowie show or something?
Probably. Why not?
I'd like to see that. I'd like to learn. And forgive me, listeners, if any of you know the answer to this question because of the books, forgive me for being ignorant.
We haven't read the books.
But we don't know. We just don't know. But I mean, I think there's, in 60, 70 years' time, there's a chance for... an accidental behavior.
Well, there, you know, I'm not sure the flashbacks are anybody's favorite part of the show, but there's still so much to learn. We haven't heard about the telltale heart down in his basement.
Sure.
How has Abraham learned all these things, like silver kills them and you chop off their heads? You know, he knows a lot of stuff.
He's got those books.
And in the flashback, that's true, but in the flashback of the Nazi prison camp, we'll get to at the end of this, he didn't learn any of that stuff there.
No, he hasn't learned it yet.
But he did learn something important in the present day, And that was, he learned from sexy female hacker Dutch that she was paid to shut down the internet by Palmer, and Palmer's been working with who?
Eichholz-Butler.
Wait, who?
Poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, that's Palmer and Eichhorst. Palmer and Eichhorst.
And so this seems like valuable information, which I honestly think he probably could have known.
Yeah.
Because he knew that Jim was working for Stoneheart Group, a.k.a. Mr. Palmer, yada, yada, yada. But it feels like Abraham, he's got soup on his goatee, and he's like, this could be helpful. And he's like, aha. Mm-hmm. And so sexy female hacker... who he's like, listen, you're telling me this to, you know, make yourself feel a bit good. And at least it cheers it up a bit.
Yeah.
And so let's just get to the end of this. So there's another bonding moment.
There's another bonding moment.
Another grandpa moment between Zach and Abraham in his place where they sit on the couch. Zach looks like he's drinking maybe milk. Got your milk, Zach.
He's the one guy who's got milk.
Yeah, since Abraham isn't drinking milk anymore. Yeah.
No, sir.
And Abraham instead is drinking, that looks like hard liquor, baby.
God, hey, I think if anybody's earned it, Abe has.
Yeah, and Abraham, you know, it's just tough love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, your dad will be able to help. Well, if he has, you know, if he just accepts what he has to do,
maybe
gulp, gulp, gulp. If he's willing to kill your mom if she's turned, you know, he's like, you got to stone cold be strong.
That is exactly
you
got to
strong it up.
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. And Abe, we know, is tough. We know Abe is tough. Now, while Abe is sitting down on the couch with Zach, something else is going down at Kelly's house.
Yeah, all right. So let's jump back and let's follow the other story thread of F and Nora. They've stayed behind.
They have.
And so one of the first things they have to do is they have to ball up Matt from Sears in some plastic. Once again, everybody has the perfect amount of plastic, so I assume that was part of the construction on turning F's office into a Matt from Sears playroom.
Yeah.
And so they take that plastic and they wrap up Matt from Sears' body. And once again, did they burn the worms? Because there were worms out. I'm just so confused.
Yeah, I don't know. I do know that Kelly has a Dyson vacuum cleaner, and that's one of their
that'll
features.
Take care of the worms. That's a good point.
If anything, I think that scene where they're rolling up Matt from Sears up in the plastic, I think it's proof that good old F is not that he truly is still in love with Kelly.
Why so?
He's in his ex-wife's house.
Oh, she's cleaning it up for her.
She's cleaning it up. He could have used some of her dresses to roll up the guy. Nope, he doesn't. Could have used her favorite bedspread, something from the duvet. Nope. He just uses some plastic.
That's all he needed.
And that's all he needed. So he does have some deep, deep feelings still for Kelly.
Now this,
they're about to be challenged.
I was about to say, you see him rolling up Matt from Sears. He's going to be rolling around on the floor with somebody else in a minute, if you know what I mean. But Nora.
I know exactly what you mean because
you saw the episode. Yes. You know what I mean. All right. So Nora gives the episode its title. Remember, this episode is titled "The Disappeared," and she's talking about down in Argentina.
Because I think we needed to, we need to talk about the disappeared and all the dirty wars going on in Argentina.
No. Hey, guess what? F laid it out. Fact. This is in Argentina.
No, but look.
She's not disappeared.
World War II and the Holocaust isn't enough to keep people's attention anymore. We need to bring in
more history lessons.
A second horrible episode of history.
Now, let me say something else though.
Hit me.
You love.
No, literally hit me.
Okay, fair enough. But okay, hold on. So you loved this eulogy for our boy Matt from Sears. First, they light up a newspaper.
Best eulogy ever.
They light up a newspaper, which I think the newspaper has Bolivar's picture on it. Everybody frees from
it. Oh, it did? It absolutely did.
So he put some lighter fluid on Matt from Sears, lights up the newspaper, which has Bolivar's picture on it. They drop it in, and Nora's still upset about Jim.
And
she's like, he was
the kindest, generous. Yeah.
Maybe she loved Jim.
I think she did.
She was totally ready for Jim. F has combed his hair. It was such a mess in the house, but for this memorial,
they seem to be burning Matt from Sears' body on the set of the Beyonce's concert because of the way that their hair was blowing.
Right.
I mean,
now,
it's
let me tell
gorgeous.
You something. Did you believe when F said he goes when Jim lifted up his shirt and I saw all those worms? That was the worst moment of my life. Was it really? I mean, if so, F's had a pretty good life. You don't think his divorce would have been worse?
Not those custody hearings. Yeah, I
how about
think...
that? How about that hair club for men thing being sewed onto his head?
When he got kicked out of when he got kicked out of hair club for men. Now this funeral sort of reminds me of grandmother's funeral.
How so?
Which I don't know if you remember any of that. But speaking of disasters, okay. But let's move on. So,
all right, so wait a minute. I want to get this line down because it was a great line. Nora is like, okay, you know, they're talking about Jim. She's mm-hmm, like, this is mm-hmm. the weirdest memorial ever. And she says something along the lines of, here, hold on, we got to get the line exactly right.
Would you like to say a few words?
No. Hold on. It's got to be absolutely, positively, you know, she's like, listen, you know, this just doesn't make any sense. We're barbecuing this guy. There could be Strigoi sneaking up behind us and attacking us, but we're not going to care. And she says, should we say something about Matt? And what does F say?
No.
No, stone Boom. Cold.
Boom.
Stone cold F. Man.
That's how F does it.
So F has just burned his romantic rival, and Nora is totally heartbroken still about Jim.
Yeah.
So obviously, we know what they're in the mood for.
Yep. I think I know what they're in the mood for. Some of Abe's famous chicken soup. No.
They might have liked that, but, you know, listen.
Some of those eggs?
When I go...
Scotch and eggs?
Listen, all of those
Maybe
are
Maybe some milk.
All of those things are things they might be in the mood for.
Well, you know what I like to do?
What?
After I burn a headless Strigoi.
Right. Go up to my ex-wife's bedroom
go
and
up to
sit,
my,
on the, sit on the bed.
Go up to my lover's ex-wife's bedroom. Call my mom.
Sure. That's what Nora does until the signal dies. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Dutch.
Thank you. Thanks for nothing, Dutch.
So when they're sitting on the bed, their hands just kind of...
They just kind of graze.
Nora and F's hands just kind of graze.
This is a horrible scene for...
Horrible!
Yeah, for most people who don't have the gravitas, the voice, the physique, the hair of a F Goodweather.
Right.
Because how many viewers are going to assume that anytime they touch hands with a beautiful young lady...
They start kissing because, let me tell you, when you...
There will be a class action sexual harassment
people,
suit.
When you've burnt somebody... You just get hard.
Yep, that's exactly what you do. And then
he rips off her pants. F is totally in heat. F
is out of control. Reminds me of I went to a small parochial school and we didn't really have a health class, but one day they took us to a farm.
Really?
And all I will say was when we went into the barn,
yeah,
the rancher was drinking some white wine. The point is...
What do you mean by that? I'm so confused. Well, I thought you were going to say some animals were getting, like, doing a little...
Well, they were. That's what we had to watch.
Oh, that's so you had wine? So you want... Oh, he was watching...
The farmer.
And so
I don't
Nora, F doesn't bother to take off his clothes.
F
or
his
wig.
He's got his wig, his sweater.
Nora kept her bra on. She is totally hot and horny Nora.
She's hot... Poor Nora.
Double H Nora, hot and horny.
Double H Nora. Now,
He is not thinking about Zach at all. Well, maybe he's thinking, I could get Zach a brother.
Zach needs a brother. No, it's end days. We got to repopulate the world. How many Strigois have been created in the past?
Right, we got to repopulate Earth by...
Yep.
So, F has totally banged Nora on his wife's floor. He hears somebody coming, and who comes in but it's Triple D.
Good old dead dog Diane.
And
she
busts
in.
What was great is she didn't...
She does not seem to be that surprised at all.
No.
She's like, oh, I'm going to watch you guys get dressed.
But what was great about this is when she was going through the house, you can look down behind her. She didn't turn on a single light, nor did she call out, hey, Kelly, are you here? Zach, are you here?
She
just walked straight to the bedroom.
She walks...
With the lights off.
Completely straight into the bedroom. I just... The one thing I'll say is I'm pretty sure Nora wished she was wearing some of those basketball player warm-up pants. That's all.
Because they could rip off, you know, yeah, they just, with Velcro, bam!
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Diane is not happy about this.
Do you
whatsoever.
Think Diane's had work? Not the actress who plays Diane, because she's all natural beauty, but do you think Diane the character has had work?
I don't know. She's definitely done some threading on her eyebrows.
A little bit of that.
But this is, you know, this is just not good.
Mm-hmm.
And then F, what do you think of this move? He's like, listen, you caught me banging this chick on the floor.
Yep.
So I have to say the one thing that'll make you less mad at me, Triple D. I love my wife.
Yeah. F is either raising or lowering the bar for pillow talk.
Awkward. Well, you don't think while he was doing Nora, he was always screaming out, I love Kelly! I love my wife!
I think Nora's probably heard some pretty strange thing uttered during the act of love.
Right.
So,
now, Nora, that's gotta hurt. You've just totally been done by
what was
F.
he doing?
What? You've totally done
Oh, emotionally.
F. Emotionally.
Yes. Okay. All right.
And he's like, I love... this is just some coworker I screw. I love my wife.
Should have stayed with Jim.
Now, Nora, we heard her classic zinger of, hey, eat your bologna. This time, she's like, don't forget your knife.
Yeah.
You know what? That's good, Nora.
That is, Nora is, she's focusing on the task at hand.
Right. You know what? And ladies, listen. One of the reasons why I always go on my OkCupid dates to places infected with Strigoi is because women get horny like Nora.
That is true.
But then, it's like, if it's not working out, I just say, I love my wife.
That's all you need to do.
I don't even have a wife, but I say it.
A lot of people will assume that the humping on the rug, on the floor of the ex-wife's bedroom was just about titillation, maybe working in a little bit of Game of Thrones action.
Oh, he was working it.
Into this episode, I think, is about teaching us a lesson.
Because
Abe, if you'll notice, Abe's sword wraps around his wrist.
Oh.
So he'll never forget it. And he probably learned that the hard way, because one day he was probably humping and pumping on somebody's rug and forgot the knife.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Speaking of the hard way, Nora totally... All right, hold on. And F. All right, so it ends with F.
Do you think...
F didn't cuddle Nora. It ends with F cuddling his sunset.
As all... I don't want to go there. Now, let me just ask...
ask away.
Bubba... You grew up.
Thank you. Thank you for noticing.
You had a crazy high school fun times.
I did. I can tell some stories.
You made some bad decisions.
Oh yeah, look at my life now. Of course.
Well, it's hard. I'd like to look away, but I can't. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
Do you think that F wore a prophylactic?
What? Of course.
Of course. Why? They're in end times.
Hold on. You don't want the worms to have any way into your body. So you're always wearing...
Yeah, I suppose. I mean...
You got to cover up.
I think I would... If this starts happening for real, I hope that I go down with the...
Go down. Hello, Nora.
I hope I have to start taking Bolavitra. That's all.
Okay.
I don't even want to think about that.
All right. So let's get to the final... We're going long. Let's get to the final storyline.
Unlike F.
Yeah,
F was basically done in one commercial.
In one commercial break, he was done with Nora.
I mean, it's been a while. He hasn't had any milk or any booze in a long time.
No, milk improves your bone strength from vitamin D, as we know.
Yes,
all right, so you know what? They snuck the flashbacks into this episode kind of awkwardly. And so the first flashback is the Nazis know that the war is going bad here in Poland. They're having...
They're having some guys burn some records in the middle of the field right next to a mass grave.
Right, having these poor people dig a mass grave. This is a real history thing that at times, a lot of times I think maybe shouldn't be in a show that's
this can't
quite
be.
So silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it for whatever reason, it actually didn't bother me as much today. Abe is digging this tunnel.
Right.
And poor man's Christoph Waltz is smoking. He's watching.
He's smoking
and
a doobie.
These flashbacks, they're kind of put in sporadically. So that's all it was. You see them dig the tunnel. You see that Eichhorst knows. Look, they know that their days are numbered. The Russian army is approaching. It's been bombing in previous episodes.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to, you know, this is what was so terrible about the Nazis. They're trying to get rid of the evidence. And then in the next.
That was the one terrible thing.
Right. Let's not judge. Listen, that was it. So in the next scene, remember that in flashback Abraham. He had gotten a silver knife.
He did.
And he had hidden it among his tools for the when he was making the box.
Yep.
And now he gets the knife, and he's taping it to his leg.
Did they have painter's masking tape back then? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I have a lot of that tape where I work. All right, so who comes in, of course, but poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. I mean, I guess it was a bit of a surprise. I'm not saying sure a good surprise. But I'm just thinking to myself, it's the two of them alone in this shit.
Right.
He could have just used the knife on Eichhorst, right? He could have just killed him.
He could have, but instead...
He wants to have a conversation.
They just have a chat.
He just has a chat. And Eichhorst is like, you know, you're an artist.
He's buttering him up a little bit.
Yeah, he's sweet-talking him. And so that's all that scene was. Yeah. And so, you know, boy, these scenes scattershot throughout this episode.
Yeah, and then that night, we're back
in the barracks. And the barracks, I think, could be super scary, even though I had a question that I thought was great, so it was a great question.
Of course it is.
About when the master's coming in, he's doing some blood-sucking, baby.
Yeah.
And so is he technically, though, turning these prisoners into more Sturgoi, or is he just sucking their blood? This is so confusing. Because there is that option. Because remember, Eichhorst in the present day,
yeah,
he's got that guy he keeps trapped in it, like his panic room. And I assume he's not turning him into Sturgoi. He's just drinking his blood.
Yeah.
What did you think? Is the master killing these people? Or is he just sucking their blood? We've
never seen what happens in the morning. And so, you know, they wake up and there's, you know, nine dead people. And which probably would not be that uncommon for them to be totally dry and then just thrown out with that day's garbage.
Now, Abraham, even back then, he was a badass. I liked him. He cut his finger to have the blood out to get the master to him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm going to take it to the master. Good for him. Yeah. Bring the fight to him.
Absolutely.
But the master, boy, the master was having none of it.
Not messing
around. None of it.
No.
None of it.
He calls him out.
Calls him out.
He knows who Abraham is. For some reason, if he knows who he is and he still hasn't killed him.
Right. Maybe and he's not even sucking his blood.
Maybe it's because he knew Abraham was making him the little box.
Maybe. That's a great question. It made no sense why the master didn't. You know, maybe the master was full.
Maybe he just wanted Abraham to join his fantasy football team.
It could be. You know what also could have been? This is real bizarre. Is he kind of like taunting him and torturing him? He's like, hey,
he
I know you've been watching me and you've been awake all this time. I know you've been seeing me.
And what he does is he grabs his hands.
Ouch.
He forces them down on the ground and he just crushes his hands. They're completely mangled.
Oh, painful. Painful hand crushing.
They're completely mangled. And so the next time we see him, it's in the morning and they're figuring out what is happening.
Ouch.
There's chaos. There's chaos in the camps. Abe asked one of his buddies to help straighten out his fingers.
And I was like, is that what you technically do?
Well, let's hear. Just give me a...
Okay,
first,
sure.
I got to break one of your things.
Right,
just
sure.
Ah! Yeah. Now, hang on. Ah! This is going to not prompt.
Now, pull
one,
it out. Pull it.
Two. Oh, wait. Hang on.
No, but what are you doing?
Oh, hold this. Hold this 30-pound dumbbell for me. Okay. And you're fine.
Okay, good. All right.
They've had this chat about an artist having value and finding a place for this artist. But when Eichhorst, when poor man's Christoph Waltz sees the busted, bruised, mangled hands...
Right. Does he feel sorry for him? What's going on here?
No, he sends him to the group that's going to go dig their own grave.
Yeah, but where was the other group going? I'm so confused. Where the other groups were going to be shipped back to Germany? I'm so confused. Maybe that's what it is. He sees, hey, this guy's hand's been crushed. He can't help us anymore.
Yeah.
Put him in the...
He basically sends him to a firing squad, and they're all about to get shot. And
who comes?
The Russians are coming.
The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. And so it was perfect timing.
Now, normally when I see a tough Russian man, he's normally on a horse without a shirt. And none of these Russian soldiers, we never really saw him. Maybe they could have been. But so his they all escape.
Yeah.
There's a hole in the fence and they escape and his buddies help him out. And
what
they all scared.
What is there such a thing as hand surgery? This is like just so painful. What poor Abe had to go through to get away from this. I mean, everything he's had to go through has been terrible. But now he's trying to go over a fence without hands. I mean, oh, it's so tough.
Abe's a tough guy.
I have to admit, once again, I thought at this point he would go back and try to kill Eichhorst or something. But no, he runs. So there's a big hole in this story.
Yeah.
Speaking of a big hole, we're about to meet the master.
We are about to meet the master. So our pal.
Yeah, we're back in the
good
present
old
day.
Abe. Good old Abe.
Sorry.
Well, good old Abe. He hits the ground running.
We know.
With every single one of these flashbacks, we know that Abe is going to survive.
Of course.
Like Poor man's Christoph Waltz is going to survive.
Right, but I want to get to poor man's Christoph Waltz, because in the present day,
the
last time we saw him, he had been shot.
Been shot in the leg.
He was going through the tunnels, and he pulls out the bullet.
Yeah.
And the bullet must be silver, because it starts burning.
It starts burning in his hand, and he just hangs on to it.
Yeah, he's like, I want to feel the pain of this. But what's interesting is that these Sturgoi, and he in particular, so much of his skin is fake. So I guess his fingers aren't fake because they burn. Like, if they were fake skin on the fingers, it wouldn't burn. I got to know the rules. Tell me the rules.
I don't know. If only F's wig was as real as poor man Christoph Waltz's face.
That's a good point. So he pulls out the bullet, and then he gets his own flashback.
Yes.
To after the war, he's in Poland. You assume he's on the run as a war criminal.
It's nighttime, and he's wearing a fedora, Bubba. So yes, I think he's on the run.
He's from the third man, Harry Lime.
It's exactly right. So, and if you look closely, you can see Orson Welles sitting on a rock drinking some, what was it, Paul Prudhomme wine? What was the wine?
What was it?
Charles Shaw? I don't know.
What was it?
So he goes into his secret bunker.
Was he drinking Rioniti on ice? It's nice.
He was drinking something. He's got his little flask.
So he goes into a secret bunker, and what's there? The box. And he is sad. He's like, why have you forsaken me? Oh, want things to be good and gold.
He's whining. He is a whiny, whiny, whiny Nazi.
And who shows up?
And this is very exciting. And
it's very exciting.
It's very sad.
Sad.
It's also a little bit poignant.
Poignant?
Yeah. Well, this week it's very poignant.
How so?
Well, in her last starring role.
Who?
We have Joan Rivers
playing
the master.
That is so cold. That is so cold. I mean, Mork, excuse me. I'll edit that so it doesn't say Mork. All right, so the master is like, hey, buddy, you know what? You've been good. And the master worms him. But not before.
No, he doesn't worm. Well, he worms him, but it's a special worming.
Yeah, it's a special kind of worming.
It's a special worming. He doesn't use the giant... Those are big hands.
What do you think of the master's look here? To be honest, when I saw the master, I went, oh, well, now...
Nosferatu.
Oh, you know what? When I saw it, I go, well, now we know why the box trolls advertised him. Because the master looks like a box troll. He's not too scary looking. He's kind of goofy looking almost. So he slices open Ikor's, which really just looks like a small scratch, but Ikor's is like, mommy, I'm a baby.
He's got those big nails.
And then the master's...
Cuts himself, and then a worm comes out.
And out comes a worm.
Yeah.
Out comes a worm. The worm goes into Ikor's. And they're like blood brothers.
Now, so one thing that will... a couple of small observations.
Yeah.
One, so we know that there are a few different types of Sturgoi.
Sure.
And number one. Number two...
They're like chosen ones, yeah.
And then we have Sturgoi Team 6.
Right.
Not nearly as cool or as well-dressed or attractive as Sturgoi Team
7. No, they've been taking some weeks. No, not at all.
We know that. But Sturgoi Team 6, and they kind of looked... like the master. They kind of with the nose and all that.
Yeah,
so
the nose, you could, if you accidentally went climbing on Everest and had frostbite, lose your nose, you could go undercover as a Sturgoi.
You probably
which
could.
Which is probably how Sturgoi Team 6 did it.
That's
so that's
it
this out. Episode. We feel like it's a 7. If it's episode 8, I think that means there are only 4 more episodes left, or maybe 5.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I think they're saving some crazy action for the end. That's what I think.
I hope so. Because it's been good. Like I said, the beginning of this episode, so much fun. So much head loss for Matt from Sears. R.I.P. Matt from Sears. In fact, that should be our hashtag for this week.
Yeah.
If you've listened all the way to the end, hashtag Matt from Sears.
R.I.P.
And it helps if you send it to us here. You can tweet at us at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
Bubba, thanks a lot. I'd love to hang out, but Nora's mom is outside. I just ordered a Lyft. I got to run.
Yeah. Well, you know what? She's made more appearances in our podcast than she has in the show recently.
Look, I think we all know the real heroes of this show are Nora's mom.
Sure.
And
Fett's
father, little girl Lusk.
Hey, amen.
And the niece, the bread man's niece, who we didn't see at all, but she's fantastic.
All right, so if that's it.
I think that's it.
You'll hear us next time on
Got Your Milk!